Good day, everybody out there in DBS Radio Land. This is Blake Ruby here in San Antonio on a hot Saturday afternoon out in my patio enjoying the fresh air and the heat. I don't mind the heat. Looking up at the sky, the blue sky and the white clouds. The bright, blessed day and the dark, sacred night, my friends. Isn't it amazing? Every day that we're living, is a God-given miracle, because I don't know how it all began out of nothing. Something came from nothing. Well, welcome to my show. Again, I'm Blake Ruby. I'm the author of The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, a book that's available in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. And when I talk about my show or spiritual matters, anything that's got to do with spirituality and religion too, day-to-day life issues, anything that comes to mind, I write down notes over the 2 weeks that goes by between one show and another. I was just talking with Doug at DBS Radio, and I know myself and a lot of other people have shows on BBS Radio that deal with spirituality and religion. We're helping to make the world a better place, you know? And the thought came to my mind that, well, why do we want to make the world a better place? Because, my friends, this world is in need of help. As you know, there have been many, many wars going on in our past, still going on. Anyone out there disagree? Okay. And a lot of killing, a lot of barbaric nature, but not everyone is that way, you know? It's very strange how it seems like the majority of us are kind, decent, loving people, and just a small minority are the troublemakers, the bullies, the tyrants, the dictators. And it's been that way for a long, long time. But you think differently, that most of us are the evil kind, and there's very few good. Well, I'll tell you, if you look at television nowadays, it seems like most of the shows are violent movies, right? Violent movies, series, whatever. Fantasy violence. I've said it in previous shows. We need to stop that. Hollywood. All they care about is money, and I understand, you know. The actors and actresses, they're good people. I don't blame them. You know, they're very talented and skilled, and I don't mind watching them. But sometimes I go, hey, what about me? What about my life? The point I'm making is Hollywood has so much potential to do good for the world, especially movies about real life, people's lives, ordinary people, real people's lives. What goes on with them? Some that have had near-death experiences. Some who maybe saw a UFO or were abducted by extraterrestrials. Who just want to tell about their life and their experiences. Growing up. Maybe some issues that they've had. How they dealt with them, you know? I've got a lot to talk about my friends here on my show. Many thanks to BBS Radio. May God bless them. They're up and coming. Hello out there in maybe some small town in Germany. You're a few hours ahead and you're listening to BBS Radio. Maybe you don't speak English that well, but you can hear me and hear what I'm saying and you like me. You like the things that I talk about, because it seems like nowadays in the world, there's so much negativity being talked about. But I've got a different approach. I talk about positive things. In fact, I talk about really, really positive things. I talk about spirituality that maybe you haven't heard about before, that I might shock you with some of the things I say. I might surprise you. So you maybe down there in Chile, South America, I'm not sure what time it is. You're listening to BBS Radio because internet radio goes all around the world. And hey, you in Moscow, where the World Cup is going on, you're listening too. Yeah, the internet is amazing, isn't it? Thank you for listening to my show. Thank you for listening to BBS Radio. You over there in England, I say, jolly good show, old chap. Did you know my parents were English? I was born in Canada, so I never learned to speak like they did. I wonder just how differently things would have been if I had been born in England instead of Barrie, Ontario, Canada. My mother's mother was Irish, and I speak a little Irish, too. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I think about leprechauns and a bowl of Lucky Charms cereal and a shower with Irish bean soap. Oh, it's so refreshing afterwards. It smells so good. How about Scotland? You know, when I think about the Scottish, I think about Scotty in Star Trek. You know, the way that he talked, Captain, I'm giving you all the power I got. Isn't that an original thought? But it helps me think about when I associate things, you know, association in the memory helps us to do whatever we want, whether it's imitate somebody or remember something. Anyway, how many of you out there believe that there are extraterrestrials, that the universe is teeming with life, that the almighty creator who created everything to include our planet is strong enough, powerful enough, smart enough to create life elsewhere in the universe? I think so, myself. I know so. Because if you believe in an omnipotent God, a creator, the supreme creator who created the Big Bang and all the solar systems and galaxies that subsequently happened after the Big Bang, to include where we are today in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy and beyond, infinite space and beyond. Who said that? Remember? Buzz Lightyear, right? Something like that. So, yes, you out there in Iraq, you can understand a little bit of what I'm saying, right? Because you speak a little bit of English. And it's dark right now. It's nighttime. But you're listening to BBS Radio because BBS Radio is where it's happening. So, yeah, back to extraterrestrials. They're out there, my friend. I know that they're out there. Think about the lights in Phoenix, the Phoenix Lights in 1997, the one-mile-wide spacecraft flew over the city. 10,000 people and more saw it. The Hudson Valley UFO, over 5,000 people. That is what I call concrete evidence, my friend. But you want a different kind of evidence that we can't give to you because it wouldn't be good for you anyway to have them land somewhere and publicly, you know, get people to know them and have television cameras. That's not the way they work. And it's not good. It wouldn't be good for the human race that way. You see what I mean? Because you have to have a certain level of faith, first of all. It's like Thomas. Remember in the Bible, we talked about that at church last Sunday. Thomas said, you know, after Jesus, after the resurrection, and Jesus appeared to the disciples in a room, and the doors were closed, and he came in. Hello? Talk about beaming down. Does that ring a bell? Unless you've got another idea of how it happened, my friend. So, after that first time, Thomas showed up, and the disciples told him that Jesus had appeared in the room, and they talked with him, and he said, you know, unless I put my fingers in the scars, in his hands and feet, and touch his side where the spear pierced his side, I won't believe. So same thing happened again, right? Jesus appeared, even though the doors were locked. Hello? Extraterrestrial intervention, my friends? Think about it. But anyway, my point is, then all of a sudden, Jesus approaches him and says, look here, put your fingers in my scars, in my hands and my feet, and touch my side. Stop your doubting and believe. Blessed are those who believe without seeing, my friends. The extraterrestrials are out there. They really, really, really are. But they're not making contact because our species, the human species, is borderline, shall we say it, acceptable to be invited into the intergalactic community. And why is that, my friend? Because of our warlike tendencies. Yeah, so there is a species out there, a particular one among the thousands, okay, called the Verdants, who are the typical gray-skinned, kind of like the Close Encounters of the Third Kind, maybe a little bit larger, extraterrestrials with tan skin also. Some of their species have variation in color between gray and tan, in other words. And big dark eyes, and they're extremely intelligent, you know. They've been monitoring our Earth, our civilization, for thousands of years. That's what they do. They travel around the universe. Their big passion is to come up to uncharted solar systems and monitor the life that they find within those solar systems. Inevitably, they find planets like ours with water, you know, atmosphere compatible with life similar to ours. Is it any wonder that there is really other planets like this out there? And guess what? Even though they've been traveling the universe for millions of years, they're still coming up to uncharted solar systems. Isn't that amazing? And these people, I won't call them people, the species, the Verdants, who are supposedly the dominant species in the universe and have colonized many planets, millions of them, so there's actually trillions of them, and they're parked right now behind the moon in a spaceship called Goodwill. I'm not saying anything that's new, really. Some of you might be surprised to hear that, but there's a book out there, and it's been on the shelves since the 1990s, called The Contact Has Begun. Buy that book, people. Please, it's an amazing read. The author is Philip Kraff, K-R-A-P-F. He was an editor on the L.A. Times Metro desk in the 90s. He helped to win a Pulitzer Prize. He worked 25 years and retired, and he was abducted by these Verdants. And they brought him aboard the Goodwill behind the moon. And so he wrote this book on his 3 days up there. And it's an amazing, amazing book. It's one of my favorite books, along with Abduction to the Ninth Planet. And the Bible, of course. I love the Bible. And other books. So I'd like to read to you a little excerpt from The Contact Has Begun. So, as per what I just said, you know, these extraterrestrials, the Verdants, they travel space, the infinite space that we see out above us at nighttime, the dark velvet blackness of space interspersed with brilliant diamond-like stars out there, my friends. It's beautiful, God, it's great. So they travel in a very quick fashion. Their spaceships are capable of light speed and going interdimensional, and they surf the space, you know, the fabric of space, just like surfing you know, with their anti-gravity beams that can fold warp space. And they want to get from A to B. They fire the anti-gravity beams at a place out into the distance, right, and warp that space. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like when they fire the anti-gravity beams onto the gravitational fabric of space. It kind of disappears it for a second as they focus their beam on that space. And then when they stop their beam, then they can ride that wave, if you will, to B, from A to B. Anyway, so I'm going to read this to you. It says, in the initial stages of the study of Earth, the human species was classified as borderline. One that quite possibly would have to be confined to its home planet. Yeah, that's what they do. While the human animal was not considered anywhere near as vicious or ferocious as some of the worst species that the Verdants had come across, its warlike tendencies were cause for some concern. The human species, I was told, is the most diverse that the Verdants had ever encountered. Such diversity is a rarity in the universe of civilized beings, and although the Verdants have come to expect the unexpected, this came as a mild surprise to them. Until they discovered humans, they had never encountered a species in which there were wide character variations between individuals in a group. That is, a species might be good or evil, or any graduation in between, but never good and evil existing side by side in that same species. Additionally, each individual was a microcosm of the whole. That meant that we could judge the character of an entire civilization by simply studying one individual, one of the Verdants said. If we found a moral individual, the species itself, as well as all other individuals, was moral. Where we came across barbarians, the species invariably turned out to be barbaric. However, discovery of human beings and the infinite variations in character that constitute the species threw a monkey wrench into that formula. Never before had we seen cruel and remorseless individuals exist side by side with kind and compassionate ones within the same species, the Verdant said. Destructive and murderous people walk among the caring ones on Earth. Tyrannical governments rule over peaceful and gentle people, while immoral people exist under benevolent government. This phenomenon, this range of diversity among humans, is absolutely fascinating, they said. They came to understand that humans not only vary from individual to individual, but also between individuals and the group as a whole. It took some time for the Verdants to make these distinctions. Year-long history of warfare, which we have personally observed, told us that we were looking at a savage race, Tom Conductor continued. On the group level, we witnessed international conflict, corruption, thievery, the rape of the environment, the plunder of natural resources, and the unspeakable cruelty of genocide. On an individual level, we observed mendacity, thievery, murder, child abuse, hypocrisy, sadism, and cowardice of epidemic proportion. All these things spoke of a depraved species, the Verdant said. But closer scrutiny revealed individual accomplishments in the arts, music, literature, and architecture that demonstrated a surprising nobility of spirit and mind. It was these redeeming qualities that caused the Verdants to change their minds about us. Humankind's status was upgraded to acceptable after the Verdant scientists had enough data to confidently predict that the species could safely be welcomed into the intergalactic community with certain reservations. So, it wouldn't be a stretch to say that humankind will find its place in the heavens thanks to the refined, intelligent, gentle, cultured people who walk among us. Hey, like me, and like some other people who have radio shows on BBS Radio, and you out there in the listening land, because you also want to make the world a better place, right? Continuing on. It was their contributions that caught the verdant's attention and convinced them that the species was worth nurturing. This nurturing of a human species presented a unique challenge, they said, one they had never faced before. Typically, when helping to prepare other species to make the transition from planet-bound animal to star traveler, hey, the verdants simply shared their technology with the entire civilized species. But that formula won't work because of humankind's unrivaled diversity. The goal, in this case, is to preserve the redeeming qualities in the species while ensuring that the darker elements of the human character, personified by the dangerous rogues of society, are isolated. In other words, to resort to a platitude, they wouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That is, the better nature of humankind, represented by the gentle people, the artists, the thinkers, the lovers, the dreamers, the scholars, the builders, the hundreds of millions of moral people who live ordinary lives of decency, would be welcomed into the Intergalactic Federation. But there would be no place in the cosmos for the wicked and immoral. Those who, by their very words and deeds on Earth, have demonstrated that they are not fit candidates for membership in the cosmic community. One prime example of those to be excluded would be leaders of governments whose record on human rights falls short of minimum standards. The Verdants have decided that the best approach to achieve these goals is to encourage the good people of Earth to police themselves. Good people out there, police yourself, police others. To take responsibility for ensuring that the dangerous scoundrels are quarantined and not allowed access to the heavens. Dangerous scoundrels. Any failure in this regard could lead to loss of privileges for the entire species. This could mean being forced back out of space. They could do it. They have the technology and the know-how. Until such time as humankind demonstrates that it has resolved the problem and can keep the troublemakers restricted to the planet. How does humankind rate overall in comparison to the norm among the various species in the planetary community? I ask, the author asked. Taking the top 80% of the population and discounting the other 20%, whom we consider irredeemable, man is inherently good, they replied. When the species takes its place in the Federation, it will consist solely of that top 80%. And the bottom 20%, I asked, leaving the question hanging. Several moments of silence passed before several of the extraterrestrials started speaking at once. Gus decided, one of the extraterrestrials, his name Gus, Gus decided to field the question, and the others deferred to him. We do not deal in cruelty or death, nor do we inflict pain, he said, but we also do not tolerate dangerous rogues who cannot or will not abide by the standards and rules of civilized society. He was speaking, of course, about the intergalactic community because, as I have been told earlier, the Verdants do not interfere in the internal affairs of other species. I think we should leave it at that, he said. I interpreted the latter statement not as a suggestion, but as a directive. So I exercised discretion and dropped the subject. In terms of native intelligence, my friends, humankind rates at about a 2, certainly no higher than a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. when compared with other species, that is, when they are first brought into the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. I was extremely disappointed with that assessment, and I suppose my face showed it. But it will improve, one of them said. It always does. Left alone, he said, the human species would require another 2 million years, according to the best estimates of the verdant scientists, to achieve absolute intelligence. There was that phrase again, absolute intelligence. I said, it was really a question. The point at which it becomes biologically impossible to become any more intelligent. There are limits to everything, one of the verdants said. But again, he pointed out, the relatively low rating of a 2 or 3 on a scale of 1 to 10 is due to the immense diversity of the human species. But other species have intelligence levels that do not deviate more than 1% from the most intelligent to the least intelligent individuals. For all practical purposes, except for that very slight variation, that means that every individual is of equal intelligence. If we compared just your most intelligent people, say the top 10%, your species would rank at perhaps an 8 or 9, Robert continued. But the sheer vast numbers of the less intelligent draw down the average considerably. Again, this is an anomaly that we have never experienced before. We previously had thought that it would be impossible to find such a wide difference among individuals in the same species. However, with the proper guidance provided by the available technology, man will not have to wait for 2 million years to achieve absolute intelligence. The process can be speeded up enormously so that a race of humans of superintelligence can be created with no more than 2 or 3,000 years. In terms of physical appearance, humans are neither more attractive nor less attractive than any other species. Humans simply are viewed as a species with unique characteristics, just as every other species brings to the planetary community its own unique physiology. And that's it, my friends. I'm going to stop there and not read anymore. The Contact Has Begun, published in 1990. When was it published? In the late 1990s, I think. 1998. It's an amazing book. Are you among those 80% people? I think you are. Or the dangerous scoundrels, the rogues of society. So we need to rise up, don't we? We need to rise up and bring... I just took my cell phone off the stand here and pinched my finger. We need to really make contact with these species. But you know what happened? Everything was on track to have a summit with these extraterrestrials, the Verdants. As they normally do, they abduct people and indoctrinate them, orient them, educate them. And the plan is for them to slowly go out, spread the word through the media so it wouldn't cause panic around the world. I mean, they've got people of all professions all over the world. They call them ambassadors, and they abducted this guy that wrote the book so that, because they knew that he had great writing skills. And we were on track to have a summit around 2010, but guess what happened? And this man was abducted in the 90s, 1997. Guess what happened? 9/11 happened. And they said, there they go. We gave them a chance. These people were borderline, you know. I mean, we were going to give them a chance to become star travelers, I mean, for real, sharing their technology. What do we got now? Our best propulsion systems on spaceships can travel maybe 40,000 miles an hour. Like Voyager 1, Voyager 2, you know, they're heading out of our, they're out of our solar system now, but heading to, I think, the closest star, which is Alpha Centauri, 4 light years away. You know how long it's going to take for them to get there, traveling at 40,000 miles an hour? 20,000 years. I know that NASA's working on some ion engines and like a space sail. But if we had these extraterrestrials share their technology with us, we could be like in Star Trek. I mean, for real. I mean, don't stop the doubting. You doubting Thomas is out there. I mean, this is real. Real. They could share their technology. And then, not only that, they could help cure diseases. They can let us know what we're doing wrong. But no, 9/11 had to happen. They flew two aircraft into the World Trade Center, and they were looking at that, and they said, these people, oh, are they going to destroy themselves? So they backed off. The plan was put on hold. Now they're waiting to see if we're going to destroy ourselves. I mean, do you not realize that we have the capability to destroy ourselves, that we have nuclear weapons that are much more powerful than the ones that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki? But I don't want to talk about that, my friend. More positive stuff. Anyway, time just slides by. Look, a half an hour is already gone. I'm loving this. I've been talking. You know, I could sit here and not say anything. But it's great. It really is. And I encourage you, my friends, if you are passionate about a subject, if you have a lot of knowledge of a particular subject, treat yourself. Pay for a spot on BBS Radio to talk about what you know. There's nothing like talking for 1 hour straight. And it's one thing, as a public speaker, you know, I've been a member of Toastmasters for many years. I found out that one's confidence level rises when you know that you can talk continuously for a long time. At Toastmasters, we have these speeches that we give, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes. But nothing of the really long type. But they do have some hour speeches, but not many. Mostly just small speeches. Usually, by the time you get started and warmed up, it's time to stop. You know, that's kind of crazy, but better than nothing, I suppose. But here, talking about the subjects that I'm passionate about, it's amazing. It really is. I've written some thoughts down. And I want to talk about him. You know me, on previous shows, I've kind of harped on the Mother God concept out there. I'm convinced that the way ahead to bring the world together so that we can make contact with extraterrestrials is to kind of break down the barriers of falseness that are out there, to kind of teach people to seek the truth. And I see a big discrepancy with how the Bible doesn't talk about a mother God, but talk about a father God. Now, don't get me wrong, I love the Bible, but there's just some things I have some issues with. So I wouldn't want anyone to persecute just because I don't believe everything the Bible says. I would think a person is naive who believes everything that he's told, especially considering the translations that have gone on and the interpretations over the centuries. Now, if it was Jesus himself that had written down all these different chapters, you know, like, say, for example, your life story, your biography, if people that you know wrote about you and the things that you did, I'll bet it would be different than what you would write about yourself. You see what I mean? But let me get back to the Mother God. So, help me out with this, okay? And see the logic of what I'm saying. We have a mother here on earth, and we have a father. We are our parents' children. Are you with me so far? It is logical to assume that we have no control over how, where, and when we were born, right? Yet we were born after a successful gestation in our mother's womb. Oh, by the way, some aren't successful, you know, miscarriages. My mother had a miscarriage. My friend, you better believe there is a high power that does determine how, when, and where we were born. We are born. It is a perfect power that also rotates our planet and revolves it around our sun. We are a part of a solar system. And Copernicus taught us that our planet is not at the center of everything. Have we made any progress since then, my people, my friends? I think so. I find it hard to believe that we are still stuck in a gap of not knowing there is life out there. That's what I'm talking about. Truth, my friend. The truth will set us free. However, without concrete evidence, there are ways to bridge the gap between belief and knowledge. By casting away the belief of centuries of irrational dogma, we are slowly revealing the truth of a universe that is much bigger than we realize, and one that is teeming with life. One way to do that is to counter the irrational with reason and fight the illogical with logic. That involves not only what is beyond our planet, but also within our spiritual life. I have talked before about the existence of a mother God. Now I offer you this. As I stated before, we have a mother and father here on earth. Why would, how could it be any different in heaven, the place where we are going, God willing, after we die, once and for all? Are we not the children of God, the Father, in heaven? Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. Hello, are you still with me? We should know by now, everyone should know by now, that in heaven, the spirit world, we exist in spirit. The spirit is a body of light energy, which resembles our physical bodies, my friends, in many ways. The soul is the brain of the spirit. We existed in the spirit world, the sun, before we were born on earth. Bad karma, notwithstanding, we will return there after we transition, die, in other words. Are we to believe we will have no mother God there? We have a mother here on earth, but no mother in heaven? A father God in heaven, but no mother God? Mothers on earth, but no mothers in heaven? Are we motherless children in heaven? How could Father God create without a mother? The truth is that we live in a universe of mothers and fathers, my friend. The supreme creator, originator of the Big Bang, is both male and female. Did you know that? It was his, her plan to separate the male and female of his, her spirit to proliferate the growth of the universe. That's what it's all about. Growth. What do you know about growth, my friend? Tell me. I know you know a lot. Share it. Share it with people. You have your experiences. You have your life. Share your growth. Let's make this world a better place. There's nothing more important to the supreme creator, the Big Bang maker. Yeah, that's him, her. Than growth. Here in our lives, we live our lives and enjoy family, friends, good conversation, good sex, good food. But what about growth? Do we realize the growth we have achieved from babies to adults, my friends? Do we value and cherish that growth? We can't be like the supreme creator, but we can be co-creator gods, each and every one of us. In summary, there is a Father God, a co-creator God, a spirit who has evolved through the process of reincarnation by living many lives, getting rid of karmic debt, developing himself spiritually to be where he is today. The creator of an individual solar system in the vastness of infinite space, my friends. And there is also a mother god, his soulmate. Our souls are created together. And then separate. Did you know that? She is the mother of his children. And there is no other way he can create. Some of you never thought about that, right? Father God does not wave a magic wand to create. The process is still the same, kind of, in the spirit land. It's a little different, merging of the spirits. He needs a mother God to create children, planets, and animal life, and planetary bodies. Please don't fool yourselves. Break down the walls of irrational beliefs, my friends. In regard to the devil, hey, changing subjects here. I'm going to break down this wall right here and once and for all tell you the truth about the devil. One thing you have to realize that this planet and its atmosphere has a pull on us, the negativity. We live in a planet where animals eat each other. We have to deal with that negativity. The atmosphere pushing down on us, all the dangers that exist, the darkness that we have to go through every day. But the devil is actually Archangel Lucifer. Did not God, I mean both Mother and Father God, create him? Did not God create all angels? When I say Mother and Father God, I can also mean just God. When I say quick prayers, I say God. It can be either Mother God or Father God or both of them. I don't believe that angels can rebel. God did not give them free will to disobey him, her, like we have, my friend. But let's say that they did rebel and fell from grace, and now Lucifer is wreaking havoc on all humanity. So say some people, right? Once and for all, so you can forget that ridiculous belief, you young souls. If God, Mother and Father God, are all-powerful, yeah, they are. Father God is all-powerful, omnipotent, right? Could they not destroy what they had created? Of course. Why would they allow the devil to exist if the devil was not doing their wills? With their power, they could destroy him. Very simple, my friend. They could destroy the devil if they wanted to. However, the truth is, Archangel Lucifer works for God and has a specific mission. Just like Archangel Michael is in charge of the angels, Archangel Lucifer is in charge of the demons. Very simple. Very simple. Enough said about that. Moving on. Talking behind people's backs. Here's a little tip for you. Don't say things about people behind their backs. I'm trying not to myself. Hey, if what I said before wasn't logical, if I shook up your world, if I shook up your beliefs, I'm sorry. Sometimes one has to realize that if what you believe in is strong, well, let me say this. If someone tells you something contrary to what you believe, and then maybe you get angry, perhaps what you believe in isn't the truth. Otherwise, you wouldn't get angry. Yeah? Does that make sense? The only reason you get angry, because you realize it's the truth, only that you're upset you didn't discover it yourself or know it yourself. You didn't want someone to tell you what the truth is. So don't talk about people behind their backs, my friend. Instead, talk with them face to face. I'm trying to learn now. We say too much. I hear it at work. This is a tip for you. Please, to make the world a better place, don't talk about people behind their backs. Don't gossip. If you have an issue with someone, bring it out face to face. Try not to lose your temper, right? Just pray on it, too. Say a quick prayer and then go talk to the person. Also, changing the subject, do you know what God looks like, my friend? Seek that. There's lots of places that you can look around the internet that will help you understand what Father God and Mother God look like. You can imagine. Let me paint a picture for you. The throne room of God, Mother and Father God. We'll get there someday, eventually. For those who have developed themselves spiritually on earth, sooner than others, right? When we transition from this life to the next, the afterlife. And when you get to heaven, that doesn't mean you're already inside the holy city, too. You can be on the outskirts of the holy city and still enjoy the beauty and wonder of heaven, the fields, beautiful, beautiful fields with intense colors. The colors are so much more brighter there. The grass, the most brilliant green you can imagine. Fields of gold. They grow wheat. They grow vegetables. The trees of life with the fruit, the 12 different varieties of fruit. Bodies of water to include the river of life, mountains, and interconnecting them all, highways for chariots that travel these roads with angels piloting them, and the redeemed, all the people that made it to heaven. And it's a great time. There are feasts there. They have feast tables laid out with wonderful food, bread, vegetables, and fruit, water from the river of life. You're in another body there, you know. Your spirit is similar to the physical body, but it has no bodily functions. You know, it can't digest food like here on earth. And also, it doesn't require sleep, although rest is kind of mandatory there. So, also, there's all these activities going on. There's stadiums, there's arenas, buildings where you can study, libraries, places to go and meditate, all the while you're seeing all these people from different cultures throughout the centuries on earth, famous people that you heard about, people that you knew in this life who passed away. Everyone's there, praising God. That's what it's all about, because praise, my friends, is a form of love. It is. Just like we praise God, we should be praising our fellow human beings. Everyone is worthy of praise. I'm not talking about good job. Try saying other different things, like, well done. That was really good. You are awesome. I like you. I love you. And good job is okay. Good work is better. My point is, we got to be praising ourselves more. Because indeed, in heaven, where they realize that all this creation that we're a part of, the miracles of all creation are indeed miracles, my friend. And when we understand that there is a force behind all of creation, that is worthy of praising for eternity, is it not? Don't you think? So in heaven, praise is the order of business there. There is no day and night. There's a constant light from the sun, of course. It's the spirit world. As I mentioned, the spirit is made of light energy, and the spirit can exist in the fire because it's made of light. And fire is light. Fire produces light. So when we get there, hopefully you will get there, my friend. Develop yourself spiritually here on earth. Be kind. Say good things. Be a creator instead of a destroyer. You have the potential to be a co-creator God. You are a co-creator God apprentice. Now, you might need a few more lifetimes to get there. And yes, reincarnation is real. So we go to heaven, we chill out there for a while, we see all of our deceased relatives, we see people that we've heard about in the centuries in the past, the disciples, the patriarchs of the Bible, all throughout the centuries, Sir Isaac Newton, Einstein, Tesla, the great minds. There's a place there in heaven, too, called the Hall of Great Thinkers. How about you? Are you going to go there one day, maybe? Where you get to interact with some of these great minds that existed on Earth throughout the centuries. So, me, personally, what I want to do when I get to heaven, I would like to lecture like I'm doing right now. If I can talk about the Supreme Creator and just how great he, she is, that huge, huge spirit. And by the way, when you do get to the throne room where the Mother and Father God are, it is a very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful large place surrounded by, angels everywhere, huge, beautiful angels, cherubim, seraphim, mainly those two types. And then, you know, the other type, virtues, dominions, principalities, and regular angels, powers. But mainly the cherubim, especially the kind with the four faces, you know, the eagle, the ox, the man, the lion. And they have some that have only two faces, maybe a lion and an eagle, or a human and an ox. And the seraphim, they're so bright, they look like they're on fire. And they sing beautiful, beautiful praises. They're in the throne room, okay? When you're looking at Mother and Father God, you're going to look at the spirit, you know, and the spirit is light energy. But with the Mother and Father God, that light energy is so bright, it's like looking at the sun, maybe even more so bright, even brighter than that, in other words. So that's another reason why it behooves us to spiritually develop ourselves before we transition from this world. And we never know if it could be tomorrow or 10 years down the road or 10 years down the road. Remember that song, Dream On by Aerosmith? How's that go? Dream on. Sing with me. Sing for the year. Sing for the laughter. Sing for the tears. Sing with me just for today. Maybe tomorrow the good Lord will take you away. Anyway, so there's a little view of heaven there. I didn't finish everything I wanted to talk about in my little book. I'm running out of time. So 1 hour has gone by. I get rambling. You know, now let's give a shout out to some people. My son, Bryce, in Burbank. Actually, he's in Ohio right now. I'm sorry, Bryce, if you're listening up. I was speaking too fast. He's visiting his mother up in Ohio. He's 24. He's going to be up there for 30 days. I think he comes back towards the end of July. I love my son, Bright. May God bless him. And my sister, Eleanor, in Seattle, shout out to her and her son, Max. All of her family, but Max lives with her. Dear God, dear Mother and Father God, you are a God, or our individual gods. Please bless my sister and Matt. Shout out to Mr. Trump, our president, who I really like him. And I know some people don't. I don't know why we can't all like each other, you know. The good things in people, you know. even when President Obama was president, you know, I like him a whole lot. I like everybody. So, my friends, I've got to say goodbye. I wish you the best. Here's a prayer for you to say. Add to your prayer repertoire, please. Just like Tiny Tim said in the Christmas Carol, may God bless us, everyone around the world. Please say that prayer. So that includes all the bad people, all the good people. May God bless us, everyone. Thank you for listening. Continue to listen to DBS Radio. I love them. May God bless them. May God bless you all. I love you. I'll talk to you in my next radio show in 2 weeks. Goodbye.